For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I feel like starting with what's up, everybody. Like, do I need to pause and wait for a response? It's really not a, I know it's just a greeting, but when you think of the literal, you know, use of it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But regardless, welcome back to the podcast, my show, Lead Singer Syndrome. I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a group. And today we have the very impressive Charlotte Sands, who has been making waves for a few years now, so many great singles, and about to release her first full-length record, which is hard to believe. And this is really, really awesome to pick her brain, to find out about where she came from and her whole journey into this thing. It's really, really awesome. This is a great conversation. What a talent too. My God, you just, all you have to do is listen to her sing and you're like, oh, I get it. She's really, really good. It's exciting. So hang in there through this intro. And we're going to talk to Charlotte in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to remind you, as always, you can get in touch with me. Hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, I do appreciate the nice, kind words you send me and sometimes a critique here and there, which I welcome. You know, we're trying to make this thing better, trying to grow it. And if you got suggestions for upcoming guests or anything else like that, yeah, hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you want to support it, the podcast that is, please do. We got a Patreon account, monthly fee of just $6 a month or more. And you get some perks, you get some bonus content, etc. And it's what keeps the lights on around here. So head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess and sign up for that as well. Thank you. I do appreciate you even just checking that out. And if you happen to be in the United States, my band Silverstein, we're on tour right now. In fact, doing our album, This Is How the Wind Shifts, from start to finish. Well, not exactly, but you know, we're playing all the songs and all the hits as well. It's going awesome. So please, please check out tickets if you want to come hang out, silversteinmusic.com. calm. And if you see me, you know, walking around a dark parking lot or whatever, just say, what's up? Hey, I love the show, man. And I'll be like, oh, thanks. Thanks for listening. And then, I don't know, we'll hang out. It's awesome. All right, let's get into it with my conversation with Charlotte Sands. I had a no good, really bad, messed up day. And I'm stressed out, super sad, not okay. I'm never getting better, no, it's not a phase. And I like it that way. I had a no good, really bad, messed up day. And I'm stressed out, super sad, not okay. I'm never getting better, no, it's not a phase. And I like it that way. Hey, Charlotte.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm fantastic. Thanks for doing this. We connected. It worked out.
Yeah, of course. I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know you're having a what they call a press day today. So you're like...
A press day, yeah.
Yeah.
The best type of day, huh?
I mean, well, you know, it depends, I guess. You know, I like press. I mean, I started a interview show, you know? So like, yeah, obviously... It's a thing I don't mind doing, but some people, I guess, fucking hate it. You know?
Yeah, I honestly don't mind it. I love like, I feel like I also just, I love long form stuff, I guess, in mind. I love like, I feel like that kind of stuff is always so interesting to me because obviously just like talking about really in-depth things about what you're making. But I think that the weird press is like that when it's like two questions that it's like.
I know.
And then it's like always so weird. I'm like, we don't know each other.
I know. I feel so unsatisfied. You know, I'm like, why did we go through all the rigmarole of like organizing this and like the back and forth emails just so you could ask me two pointless questions? Like,
exactly.
It's like, let's at least, if we're going to do this, let's fucking do it. You know?
Yep. I agree. Exactly. I'm like, look, a 7-hour podcast. Let's commit.
Exactly. Well, I won't take up that much of your time, but you know, let's get into it. We got lots to talk about.
Amazing.
I'm here with Charlotte Sands. Exciting time in your career. Holy shit. A brand new single. You just dropped like last night, I think.
Yeah, I think with a video. Yesterday.
Yeah. And a new record coming out January 24th. I had to double take because it was like, oh, it's debut full length album. I'm like, what? She's been around for a minute. You know, I'm surprised.
I know. I feel the same way. I mean, like, I think it's also, I've released like EPs and things like that kind of when I've just had a ton of music that I needed to like categorize together. But this is like the first time ever in my career that I've made an album and like specifically curated like all the songs to like fit together. And it's such a completely different experience. It's been really wonderful and stressful.
And it's a great record. I was able to get an advanced copy of this thing and listen to it all the way through and kind of hear that, you know, because you're right. I think all the music you've released, it's been really strong and it's been very single driven, you know. It's like, okay, every song, we kind of know what the structure is going to be. We know there's going to be like big choruses and that's like, I get that.
Yeah.
But this record, especially the title track, you know, has a little bit more of like maybe a little more vibe, like a little more emotion here and there in the record that I was kind of picking out on.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it was. I feel like for the first time ever, I had the freedom to make songs that didn't feel like they just had to be like a single or like, I think it's so hard to make music nowadays, especially with like people's attention span, because you want to put out obviously the best songs, but there's so many songs that I feel like mean so much more to me that are so like emotional and are so specific, and like the writing them and the experience of making them was so special that you want them to be able to like live in the world as well. So it's really hard to do that when like you're playing the single game, but now is my time to shine.
It is your time to shine. I mean, yeah, it's really like, it speaks to just kind of the whole place that the music industry is at right now, right? Like so many,
definitely,
especially newer artists, but not even newer artists, even older artists. I mean, everybody, they're trying to get that lightning in a bottle, that hype, trending viral moment, right? Everybody wants that.
Yeah.
But then of course, you know, you've got to sustain it, right? Like then it's like, okay, well, you've got, like you had the song Dress, right? That went big on TikTok. And, you know, and the radio too. I mean, it was like this huge moment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well now more people know me And of course, I want more than that many people to know me and what I'm doing.
Right.
But also, like, I'm cultivating a fan base that
want
to know more about me, that want to know who I am, where I came from, and they want to hear, you know, some of those deeper tracks, you know, such as can we start again and all that, you know?
Absolutely.
Can we start again is a Bane lyric. That's why I wrote that down. I'll be okay.
You're all good. I completely agree. I mean, it's such a strange, relationship between the two things because, I mean, yeah, like Dress, I think happened 2 years ago and it was so massive for me. And I'm so grateful. Like, I think it took a lot of getting over the whole like ego side of like, I'm not a TikToker, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And being like, I'm an artist. I've been doing this since I was 9 years old and feeling like I was getting put in this box of like a social media influencer, which was like kind of discrediting my art to me. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. you get to this place where now I had to like get over that and be like, okay, well, I'm able to reach wider audiences using this tool that like wasn't available to any of the artists that I looked up to or was raised on. But if it was, they would have been using it too.
Sure.
And I think you kind of also, there is like this strange thing, that, like the virality aspect and all of that. But honestly, like I haven't had anything go viral in 2 years, and which is so strange to think about because I feel like my career is doing better than ever, but it's because I think we were really intentional about really investing in like actual fans and making sure that yes, we can use these tools and yes, we can try to reach a wider audience, but that's not the entire strategy. That's just like a tool we'll use alongside figuring out how to like make the actual fans and actual audience that is showing up to the shows. Like, how do we make them feel special? How do we make sure that we're giving them enough? How do we make sure that we're like creating this community that people want to be a part of so that they do stay for longer? And I think that was like the big thing for me is like making sure that we're putting a lot of attention into that instead of just getting like millions of people who like might recognize my one song on a platform. It's like, I would rather have hundreds or thousands of people who will like actually show up to a show or come see me on tour or like buy a sweatshirt if I make it, you know, and that kind of stuff. But it's such a different type of fan. It's so strange.
Well, I mean, the elephant in the room is you keep saying we, but it's really you. I mean, you're like, you're a solo artist and you're completely independent, which is so cool.
Thank you. I
was kind of surprised because so much of the way this comes off, like to me as like, I guess a press person or somebody in the industry, I'm like seeing it. I'm like, okay, this is like, gotta have some like multi-million-dollar corporation behind it. Or, you know, like, oh, she's getting all these opportunities. Like who does she have in her corner making these phone calls? And it's not that at all. Like there's industry plants and there's Charlotte Sands. Like you are completely not that. And it's really like, honestly, kind of inspiring that you can just be who you are, do everything yourself. I mean, I think even your merch is you do yourself. I was poking around on there. I think I might have accidentally bought a tape, but I think I hit Apple Pay and was like, uh-oh. I think I bought a tape.
You're like my biggest regret.
But no, like all this stuff you're doing is like, that's really different for a lot of, you know, the stuff that you see that you're like, oh, this is like organically blowing up, but you kind of know it's not.
Yeah.
This is real. This is for real.
Yeah. It's such a strange thing. I feel like I love the industry plant bit. Like people will always be like, you're an industry plant. And I'm like, honestly, that's like a huge compliment that you think that the industry is behind me because like, we're really just out here with like 12 people making this shit happen. And, so it honestly makes me like, I do feel proud when people think that like they're comparing me to people who have these like massive teams and millions of dollars. I mean, that is such a crazy part of the industry. I mean, I have so many friends that are signed and have label deals and a lot of them who are happy and a lot of them who aren't. And then I feel like for me, I've always just, I'm very much a control freak and I'm very much somebody who likes to, I'm very detail oriented. I want to know everything about everything all the time. And I want to be on every email and I want to be on every phone call. And it's probably very annoying for everyone involved in my career. But, I've always been that way. And so whenever I've had friends or anybody who's had label experiences and they talk about losing a lot of the control of when they'll be able to release their art or what kind of art they're making or who they're working with or the schedule aspect, I was always like, well, that doesn't really make sense for me and how I work, because I'm very much somebody who is like, I get excited about something and I want to release it and I want to kind of complete that circle. And I want to be able to release something when I want to and make things when I want to make them and when it feels right. And I think that's why my audience, like, kind of, they trust me, and I am like so grateful for that trust, but they trust that it's coming from me and it's coming from, like, it's my choices and it's my decisions. And it's like, if I'm releasing something, it's because I said I wanted to. And if I'm doing this, it's because I wanted it that way. And I think that there's like a lot of mutual trust in like that, our community now, which is, it's not like some like old man, like with like a puppeteer, like kind of telling me what to do and where to go and how to get viral and famous. You know, it's just me
right.
wanting to hang out in a room full of people who are like me and or maybe completely unlike me, but have similarities, and that we all just want to like make friends and enjoy life together. It's a pretty simple concept.
You're right. It is right. It doesn't have to be as complicated as so many people make it.
Right.
That's for sure. So you're from Massachusetts.
I am.
And yeah, and you come from a very artistic household. I read that your mom was an aspiring actress and your dad was a musician.
Yeah.
So it seems like music or art is absolutely a part of your DNA, and you were completely surrounded by that, you know, growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I honestly always thought that I was like everyone else was weird, because I would like go to their houses in middle school and be like, where's your guitar? Where's your like makeshift studio in a closet, you know? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, yeah, like, you don't have a piano? Like, what do you do all day? And they would be like, you're the weird house. Like, I don't know if you know this, but you guys are the weird ones. But I was so lucky, and I'm still so lucky to have such incredible parents, but, I grew up in every memory since I was born. It has some version of like creating or like music in it. And I remember we never once watched TV without my dad holding a guitar and just playing guitar while we're watching it. It's like built into my brain at this point. And that anytime you're on the couch, you are playing guitar. And every house we lived in, he would make like a makeshift studio somewhere in the basement or somewhere in an extra closet or room that I could learn how to like track my own vocals and
wow,
and stuff like that, where I was just constantly doing it. I was so lucky to have like an outlet and just learn how to do that, and have parents that fully my entire life were like, she's never going to go to college. She's never going to do that. She's just going to leave as soon as she can, and we'll probably never see her again. She'll just be off like making music and living her life. And they always were like so fine with that. And I can't imagine how hard it must be to be a parent and like let your kid go off and do a job that has no stability and
right.
no guarantees. And it's genuinely just like hopes and dreams. And that's all that's fueling you. And yeah. they really still to this day are like, yep, like you're going to do it. Like whatever, whatever you got to do, do it. Trust your gut.
And I mean, I think most of us, you know, people that do what we do, have that story, you know, of what was the day you disappointed your parents? But for you, you know, I guess you, your parents were on board. So that's pretty sick.
Yeah. I got very lucky in the sense of I have two older siblings that both like went to college and are extremely smart and do more to like help the world in their current careers than I probably ever will. But
I wouldn't say that, but okay.
They are just like brilliant. They're like saving the world and the planet. And I think I got really lucky in the sense that I was the third kid. And by that time, my parents were like, we got 2 out of 3, you know, like we're good. We already made the odds. We're good. Like, she can do whatever she wants. She can join the circus and we don't care.
That's really funny. So what when your dad was riffing on guitar, like, you know, 24/7, what was he playing? What were some of the first, you know, riffs and songs you remember hearing?
Oh my God. I mean, it was so much, it's so interesting. I grew up on so much like Sheryl Crow. Like we would always sing If It Makes You Happy, which is so funny because my voice like hadn't like changed yet, so I couldn't sing both the octaves. Like I couldn't do the octaves.
Oh, right.
I could either do the
really high part or the really low part. And I was so frustrated that I couldn't do both. I was like, I'm never going to be her. But it was like Faith Hill and Michelle Branch, Bonnie Raitt. There was like Sean Colvin. Like there were so many incredible like women and like singer songwriters and all these like incredible storytellers and James Taylor. And like it was just all this stuff that we would just sing constantly. And I'm so grateful for that because I grew up just like really loving like songwriting. And I grew up just like basically trying to rewrite all of Bonnie Raitt's songs and being like, how did she do this? And like dissecting these iconic songs. And I'm so grateful that that's like the baseline of like where I felt inspired by music. And it was all from like those women and that like type of music, which was, I still listen to constantly.
So then your dad had guitars laying around the house and he had like a closet with a microphone in it. And he must've had some kind of recording gear.
Yeah.
Do you remember like, did he kind of say like, hey, come here, like sing something for me? Or were you like, dad, what's this? Like, will you record me like singing? Like, how did that first happen? Cause I imagine that must've been your first kind of foray into, you know, this.
Well, it's so funny. I remember in like my first house that I remember living in until I was like about 10 years old, he built a lot of the house because he was a carpenter and he built a lot of the house. And in the basement, there was a studio and he was a drummer, but he still plays guitar and bass and still sings and he's still in bands. He's the coolest dad ever.
Nice.
But he like taught me how to play drums and then, would teach me like some guitar and I was just like really impatient, I think. And I was just like, I'm not good enough at anything yet. It's just frustrating. And which is why I think I started singing. Cause I was like, I'll just do this quicker. I can learn this quicker. and so I remember like learning, he would show me, I think I just got so curious about, oh, you just recorded the guitar part. Now we can record me singing and now we can listen back to it. And that's so exciting. I think being like 9 years old and hearing your own voice recorded just like all the people that you're listening to is just like an unforgettable feeling and like memory. And so for me, I just remember that. And then I was like, okay, what if we change this? Okay, I want to do like try like a harmony. Like what are they doing in this Sheryl Crow song right here? Can we do that too? And it was just kind of creating stuff with him. And I think he was also trying to figure it out at the same time, being like, okay, like how do we make this actually sound good? Or like, how do we make something cool? And my friends and I always crack up because there's like a few recordings of me from that studio when I was 9. And my dad is just going crazy on like the bass lines. Like what he's playing is just like hilarious. You know that it's just like this dad being like, oh, I'm just gonna like rip this song up. Like this is so sick. And so he's just playing these like crazy bass parts and going off on the drums. And I just have like this tiny little voice that's just like yelling. And it was just so much fun. And we still talk about those songs and those days like all the time and all the songs we made. And we just started writing them together. And he would just be like, here are some cool chords. What do you hear over that? And would just push me to there was just no space for doing the wrong thing. And I think that that was so exciting. I just felt so safe to just do whatever came to me. And I still feel like that's still how I create because of that environment that I grew up in.
Wow. That's awesome.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So at some point you must have found, you know, punk rock, Bonnie Raitt, Sheryl Crow are great and all, but like what you do, I mean, I don't hear a ton of that actually in your music.
Yeah.
And then there's collaborations you've done with like, you know, The Main, Taking Back Sunday, Under Oath.
Yeah.
You know, bands firmly outside of that world. So how did that happen? When did you kind of discover, you know, the scene or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, I remember being in middle school and I had like my best friend in middle school was a band club member of like We the Kings or something. And so she would get like all their like VIP fan club like bracelets and posters when they would send them out and like all that kind of stuff. And I remember going to her house and because being in like middle school and listening to Bonnie Raitt like wasn't like the coolest thing in the world, unfortunately. I feel like it's now cool again for me to be doing that. But at the time, everyone was like, no, like this is, who is this? And so I started listening to like We the Kings and and Mayday Parade and The Maine and these bands that like I love still so much and that I now get to like know as real people, which is the crazy entire world. But I started listening to them and then I remember going to a show, I think it was All Time Low, and I went to a show when I was like 15 or 16. And I remember just going into the crowd and seeing the audience and seeing everybody dress in such like eccentric ways. And everybody was just felt like they could be themselves. Like nobody, it just felt very strange compared to like my high school and middle school experience, which was that I had to like be like everyone else, going to somewhere that you're allowed to just be whoever you want to be. And it's like celebrated.
Right.
Was just this incredible feeling and this like release of like ultimate freedom of like individuality. And so I remember being at that show and the energy was just so massive and everyone was just jumping around and like screaming all the words and having the time of their life. And I was like, oh, like if I am going to make music, I want to make it, I want it to make people feel like this. And so I think from that moment on, I joined a rock band in high school and I started kind of trying to figure out how to make music that was just felt more energetic and that I didn't have to like sit down and only play theaters for the rest of my career. I wanted to like play stadiums. And so I was like, how do I fill that gap? And that to me was like live drums and closer to like rock music and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. So the story goes that, you know, after high school, you were going to go to Berkeley, in Massachusetts, the music school. Mm-hmm. And then you decided, well, maybe I'll take a year off. And you just,
here I am,
beelined it to Nashville. And, that was, and there you are, right? Like almost a decade later or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane, that happened and it worked out. But I mean, you've always been a believer in yourself, as well. So walk me through that time. And, you know, I guess I'm sure if you could go back, you probably would change a couple things, but obviously it worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm always somebody who like, I really try not to just even regret anything. I'm like, do I like where I am now? Yes. Do I like who I am as a person? Yes. So then I can't change anything because I'm exactly where I am because of exactly what happened. But that time in my life, I mean, I remember there was this weird feeling of, I mean, everyone in high school was going to college. I went to a really good high school and everyone was going to good colleges and was so excited to go to college. And I was like, I really hated high school. Why would I go do this again for 4 years? But I felt like I wanted to try and see if there was a mix between going to high school and also like following my dreams of music. And I remember touring Berkeley and I definitely felt like inspired when I was there, but there was an element of, I'm just not somebody who's great at like being told or how to learn things. Like I'm not great in classrooms or that kind of stuff. It's not really how my brain works. And so I've always known that the only way I'm going to learn something or get better at something is to be like thrown into the middle of it. And I just, it's like the survival aspect. It's like, you either have to figure it out or you don't and you fail. And I'm like, okay, then I'll figure it out. But I always in my mind was like, I think I will be able to learn more if I just go to where all the songwriters are. And by all the songwriters, I mean like where I saw Michelle Branch recorded her album, which was Nashville.
Right.
And so I decided to just come to Nashville. I thought I'd be here for a little bit and just do some writers rounds and meet some songwriters. And then I just absolutely fell in love with it. And I just loved, everyone was so talented and so much better than me. And I, being as competitive as I am, I was like, I need to change that. I want to be able to be in these rooms and be as good as these people. And I still don't necessarily feel that way, but I am still working on it always. But I am was just surrounded by like the most talented people. And you would walk into a random room and it would be a guy singing and he would be like, this is a song I wrote called Live Like You're Dying. And Tim McGraw cut it. And I'd be like, what is this magical place that I walked into? I just absolutely loved it. It felt really magical everywhere I went, and just felt like there was this overpouring amount of creativity and support for each other. And it was like all these other people that also felt displaced kind of in their lives, but also just wanted to like chase this dream. And so we all just ended up here together, and I still feel that way. I still love it so much here, but I just ended up staying. I couldn't leave. I felt like there was so much for me to do and so many songs for me to write here. It just didn't feel right to go home.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nashville's changed so much too. Oh my God. Like it's crazy how much of a rock music place it's been become, you know? Like it was back in the day, to be honest, you know, when Silverstein, when we would like tour, Nashville was always kind of a bad show, like one of the worst shows for us.
Yeah. And a lot of people like that.
And now it's like one of the best. And the backstage, it's like there's more people, you know, like friends and stuff that work in the industry and stuff there than there are in like New York or LA. Well, it's so crazy how far it's come.
100%. Like, yeah, when I moved here, it's like if I was never wanting to be a country artist, but when I moved here, if I was holding a guitar and performing at a show, I was a country artist automatically. And because that's just what. Like there was the only box people could really put you in. And then, over the years, it's changed so much. There was a big pop scene. And now I think so many people, it's so interesting. So many people that were in like bands, I think they now found Nashville because you can afford to live here and you can have a family here. And it's not like LA, which is like extremely expensive and impossible to kind of survive as a middle grade musician. Even like you have to just really be killing it to buy a property or like raise a family there. And so I think a lot of people just found this middle ground, which was Nashville, and it feels like home. And you can also like do your job and work and meet new people. And so it's, I completely agree. It's changed so much. I mean, the skyline used to be like three buildings.
I know. Right. I know. I was down there just a couple months ago. I was doing like an emo night show, and I hadn't been down, you know, down on like Broadway in a while.
Yeah.
And it was like middle of the week. It wasn't even a weekend. And it was like crazy down there. Like the amount of people, like I couldn't believe it. It's like, it feels like the Las Vegas Strip more than the Nashville I remember. It's kind of weird.
It really, it's really strange. Nash Vegas.
Is that what they're calling it? Yeah. Oh, damn.
It is. It's changed so much. I love obviously like change and growth and all these things. I'm grateful for the fact that there's so many different types of artists and musicians coming here and living here now. It makes my job so much more fun, but it is completely different than when I first got here. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, the debut record is coming out January 24th. Can We Start Over? Not Start Again. That's Bane. And it seems like you got a lot going on. I mean, including like your huge headline tour going all over the world. Lots of focus on Europe and international markets too, not just America, America, America over and over again, which is pretty cool too. I mean, you've had some success winning that award over in London, the Heavy Music Award for Best Breakthrough Artist. That's pretty cool too.
Thank you.
So I think it makes sense.
I know. And honestly, I think that's such a challenging thing to like win over other markets and stuff. But I will, like, anytime we've done any tours in the UK or Europe, which honestly I did most of my touring this year has been, I think I did one US tour and I did three UK Europe tours. They're just the fans over there as well as the US, but they're just so loyal. And if you go there, they'll come back every time they're there because they know that it's rare that you're able to come there. And so I think that it is like this excitement and this just like really amazing energy with the fan bases over there, which is just so fun. And I'm so excited. I'm going to Australia for the first time ever.
Oh, nice. I just got back from there.
No way. How was it?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
I've heard things.
It's so, yeah, it's such a beautiful country. And you think like, you think Europeans are excited to have you there. Australians are really excited because hella far. Yes. Yes. Definitely do whatever you can to fight the jet lag.
Oh my God. I know. Right. Well, yeah, we were trying to figure out, we were like, am I literally flying around the world? So where else should we just stop on our way, I guess?
Yeah, I know. It's we did Japan and some other places in Southeast Asia, but it's not really on the way. Like it's still, you know, you get to Japan and you're like, oh, okay, we're like on this side of the world. And then you realize it's still another like 11-hour flight to,
it's so
to
insane.
Australia. It's, you know.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
So what's the tour over there? Are you headlining in Australia?
Yeah, I'll be headlining there as well.
Awesome.
And I'm excited for that. For some reason, my entire last 4 years, Australia has been one of my like biggest like listener audiences. Like on Spotify and everything, they've like my top 10 cities for the most listened. There's 3 Australian cities in there.
Wow.
Which is so random. And so I'm just finally, I feel like I've been wanting to do that for a really long time, and finally am able to, and I just couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, I mean, Australia has such a great scene, and especially when you talk about female fronted bands, Tonight Alive being obviously really good friends of mine, and what a career they've had, and yours truly being a great upcoming band, and Stan Atlantic, and
I love
so many. So
that's so sick. Yeah, 100%. I'm so excited. I'm literally, I've been looking forward to it for a really long time. So it's gonna be amazing.
Awesome. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. I see. Yeah. Even Download Festival next year. That's going to be big. I will see you there. We are also playing
that. No way. Yes. Oh my God. We have to hang out.
Hell yeah. We'll hang out. I'm excited. And also I see the first show of 2024 is going to be very different. The Emo's Not Dead Cruise 2024. God. Are you ready for this? Have you ever done a cruise before?
I haven't even been on a cruise before, so I'm pretty terrified, only for the sense of, I was like, I really hope I don't get seasick.
Yeah.
I've been on ferries between like Europe and the UK and stuff when we've toured over there, and that's been like even like an 8-hour ferry. So I think I'm okay. But yeah, it is going to be an interesting thing to be like performing on like a moving boat. I guess it's not like a boat, but really, but like I'm imagining it being like a little sailboat, but I know it's like the complete opposite.
Yeah. So we did it last year. I don't know if it's the same, going to be the same boat or not.
Yeah.
But it was extremely rocky.
Really?
But I think we had a weird, well, also I think they're doing it. You guys are sailing. You guys are cruising off of Florida, right?
Yeah. Miami.
So we were in California. So I'm sure, you know, it's different, but yeah, it was really, really rocky. A lot of people were getting sick, and I didn't get sick. I was okay, but a few people did. And it's really weird playing on stage when the boat is rocking back and forth.
I can't imagine.
And you can see like this, even just the cymbals moving.
No, that's,
you know what I mean? Awful. It's really odd.
That is so funny. Yeah, that sounds genuinely brutal, but I'm just going to have some drinks. Make the best of it.
Hell yeah. No, it's a good time. We had a real, and it was the first one we did too. So I'm sure this time they'll have like all the little things figured out, but it was
for sure.
It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
It's always so fun to do stuff like that when you know, like other bands and other people. Like I'm so excited that like Sleep With Sirens is on it.
Yeah.
So many people that like, I just love, and I'm just so excited to like be able to hang out with them, force them to be my friends for a whole weekend.
Absolutely. So the new record is coming out. You got a big tour coming out. What else to tell the people here about you? You know, I mean, it's been such a wild ride. I feel like you're maybe you have a second right now to kind of catch your breath before it gets crazy again. But, you know, where are you at?
I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, I just got off the road with like 5 Seconds of Summer and stuff. So I definitely got home and was like, I need to just chill. But I am genuinely, I mean, I have another song coming out before the album comes out, which I'm very excited about. It's, I think, my favorite song ever of all time. And it's a lot different than a lot of the stuff that I've made. So I'm super excited about that. And then, trying to rest before next year, because it's going to be crazy, in all the good ways. And I can't wait, but I'm definitely trying to take a breather and then start working on the next project.
Awesome. Can you tell me which song it is?
The song that's going to be out. Oh my God, an exclusive. I'm so bad at keeping secrets.
Oh, ooh, I like this.
No, yeah. The next one is going to be called Blind Spot.
Oh, you know what? I was going to ask if it was Blind Spot.
Really?
Because that was a huge favorite of mine. In fact, I was listening through the record and I heard it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to put that one on again. and I really like, I also like Dead Body, kind of a banger right after it. But Blind Spot was a great track. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that one was just so fun for me. And also just reminded me so much of we just really wanted to do like the Michelle Branch kind of thing. And I've been trying to write a song like that for a really long time. So I feel like I finally got that song and I'm really excited about it.
Hell yeah. No, it's super good. This whole record is just awesome. Can We Start Over? January 24th. You can get pre-orders right now too, mm-hmm. over at, is it charlottesands.com?
Yep, charlottesands.com.
That's easy. We can remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Head over there. Careful though. If you hit that buy now button, I think it sends you a cassette tape or something. I don't know.
Whoever set that up, I need to give them a raise.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm on it right now. Yeah.
People.
Oh yeah. I think I bought it with Apple Pay. So yeah, there you go.
No. Hey.
No, it's okay. I'm happy to have the tape. Looks great. I don't have a cassette player, but like, you know, it's cool.
Yeah. Maybe my dad might get to send you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the tape resurgence, that's one I don't really get. Like,
yeah,
I've obviously, like, being, you know, from where I came from in punk rock and everything, like, I've always had vinyl and, right. you know, the artwork's bigger and it looks cool and you can get it on different colors and stuff. But like, I'm sorry, like, tapes suck. Tapes have always sucked.
So funny. I know. I guess it's just a specific memory for like, I remember growing up and my dad having like a yellow Sony like tape player.
Yeah.
And so I have just like such a specific memory of just like me having tapes and like putting them in there. So I was like, for this one, for that one EP, we did that. But then I'm so excited because for the next album, we have vinyl for the first time ever. So I'm like thrilled about that.
Awesome. Yeah. No. Yeah. The Sony Sports Walkman, man. I mean, those are worth money if he still has it. So I don't know.
They're like $150 now. It's crazy. I've been looking it up.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Charlotte, thank you for taking the time. Good luck with the rest of your press day.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. So I'm going to leave them with a tune. I figure, how about Pity, the new track?
I love that.
Let's do it. Here it is. Pity, Charlotte Sands. On Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks.
Amazing.
It's what I would have said then. I
So there it is. New music from Charlotte Sands with the song Pity. That is a track from her upcoming debut full-length album, Can We Start Over? Coming out independently, which is so awesome. So head over to charlottesands.com, pre-order a record, a shirt, whatever you want. Careful with that buy now button. It got me. It might get you too. But yes, go support Charlotte. This is just awesome. It's really, really amazing to see how far she's come in just a few short years doing it herself as well. It's really, really, really awesome. I want to thank Charlotte and the whole team for having her aboard and taking time out of her press day. Probably a lot of people want to talk to her right now and to talk to me. So thank you for listening. Thank you for checking it out. And spread the word. Tell a friend. Tell everyone about the show. It means everything. Let's keep this thing going and growing each and every week. That's all. Go back. Listen to some old episodes if you got time. Okay. I know this was a shorter one. And I'll see you next week. Peace and love.